As dentists, you're all speakers too. You are speakers because you have the same situation that is presented with a keynote speaker. When I'm on stage, it's a one-way conversation. The audience isn't talking back to me. As dentists, you're the same. You're in the same situation.
Welcome to the Savvy Dentist Podcast with Dr. Jesse Green, the show where great dentistry meets great business. Listen in each week as we bring you an inspiring person who will share their story, ideas, and business techniques to help you create a practice and a life you love. And now introducing your host, Dr. Jesse Green.
Welcome back to the Savvy Dentist Podcast, a show where great dentistry meets great business. Today, I'm absolutely delighted to be having a conversation with Vin Jiang. Vin is an internationally known speaker. He's got a background in magic. He's got a video production company. He does so many things, but above all that, he's an entrepreneur and a really, really nice guy. I was very fortunate to meet Vin some years ago and again caught up with him at the recent Dental Practice Owners Conference. And today we're having a conversation about a whole variety of different things. We're talking a lot about entrepreneurialism. What does it really mean? And you know, we hear that word a lot, but we go into depth about, you know, what does an entrepreneur really mean and what are some of the misconceptions around entrepreneurialism and what are some of the essential elements. We talk about the problem of being isolated in business and how, you know, we compare ourselves to others and how that may or may not serve us. And Vin's got some very, you know, really salient points to make on that, some wisdom that he shares. And we also then move into about becoming a performer and what that might mean for dentists. You know, we're in the business of performance as much as we're in the business of dentistry because we're out to create experiences for our patients. So Vin unpacks all of that and a whole lot more. So wide-ranging interview. Vin is magnificent as always. If you've got a pen and paper handy, I encourage you to have more pens and more paper because there's so many notes that you're going to want to take on this particular interview. And I know that if you can take action on the material that Vin shares, not only is it going to improve your practice, it's going to dramatically improve your life. So without any further ado, here is the one, the only, Vin Jiang. Vin, welcome to the Savvy Dentist Podcast. Thanks so much for coming onto the show today. Really grateful to you for taking the time out of your day to come and hang with us.
No worries. Glad to be here.
Cool. We were just talking off air before we got started, and you know, I've been following your stuff around now for a couple of years. I saw you, first of all, at an event in Brisbane with your good friend and Matthew Michaelwitz, who's hopefully coming onto our podcast soon, I hope, but super remarkable entrepreneur that he is. And of course, we saw you recently at the Dental Practice Owners Conference. And the feedback that, you know, I heard about your presentation there was just remarkable. Today, I really just wanted to understand and unpack a little bit about your story, get some insights from you around your business journey, because I know, you know, we all know you as Vin the Magician, and obviously that's part of your life, but I know it's not the whole part of your life. So I'd really love to explore that with you, if that's cool with you.
Yeah, let's do it, Jesse.
Cool. All right. So, mate, when you started your, you know, your magic business, you know, I think of you as an entrepreneur, not just as a magician. In dentistry, it wasn't that long ago that, you know, to be called an entrepreneur was a bit of a slight, actually. People would kind of infer that you're only interested in the money. You couldn't really be possibly be interested in providing healthcare, which I completely reject that notion. But what's your definition of an entrepreneur? How do you kind of see entrepreneurialism? And do you think it's becoming the newfangled thing of the day, because everyone seems to be calling themselves an entrepreneur these days?
Yeah, look, I think that's something I've encountered myself. You know, like at one point I felt like, oh, am I being fraudulent calling myself an entrepreneur? Because so many people were saying, oh, everyone's an entrepreneur. Then it made me feel bad, and I was like, oh crap. But to me, being an entrepreneur is just creating something from nothing.
Yeah,
I just like to keep a very simplistic definition of it. My mom and dad were entrepreneurs because they made something out of nothing. And to me, it's kind of like a magician too, if you think about it, creating something from nothing. But that to me is as simple as I'd keep it. I don't want to overcomplicate it because you can call yourself whatever you want.
So mate, if the essential element of being an entrepreneur is to create something from nothing, you know, it seems that, you know, I know you've done that, I've done that, most of the people listening to this program will have done that to some degree. What do you see as some of the things that you've learned on your entrepreneurial journey, you know, that have enabled you to create something from nothing? Where have been the little forks in the road where you might have zigged or zagged and it's made all the difference?
I think in hindsight, like I used to say a lot of different things, but I think as I get older, I just get less wrong. not more correct, but just less wrong.
Yeah, and
one of the things I realized is that one thing that's helped me throughout my journey is just maintaining a personal brand. So it's interesting because I've zigged and zagged and done many different things, but by having a personal brand, I've always had a core group of supporters. And it's funny because it's almost like your supporters, your fans, your viewers, your subscribers, whatever it may be, they validate what you're doing. So anytime I start a new project, I've got an immediate group of people who validate what I'm doing right away to my potential audience, to my potential customers. So to me, that's been huge in being able to create something out of nothing in many different marketplaces.
So, okay. So the thing with personal brand, interestingly enough, that was a conversation I was wanting to have with you a little bit later on, but let's go there because I think, yeah, that the time is right. But the concept of a personal brand, you know, we all understand that, having a brand of yourself, but there are a lot of people who kind of go, well, I just want to hide behind the business brand or in this case, the practice brand. So what's your thinking around, you know, having that personal brand for a dentist? How does that fit in with the professional services industry that you, you know, whether it's dentistry or otherwise, where do you see that fitting in? And I guess the next question is, how did you go about building such a strong personal brand? Because yours is really wonderful and it's very strong and very authentic and everyone knows who Vin is. How did you go about doing that on a practical level?
Look, I think like anything, you just have to do it badly first. and I think creating content, whether it's writing a blog or whether it's making a video, whether it's doing a podcast like we're doing now, you've got to do some of that because I feel like we live in a world now where you providing the actual expertise that you're providing your customer, your patient, it's not enough anymore because people don't discover you by accident anymore. Customers no longer want to discover you when they meet you. They want to do all of their research about you before they even see you. So personal brand is just a fancy way of saying marketing for what you do. And I think it's super relevant for dentists and any profession because how are people going to discover you? You know, I mean, if you're not creating content, because marketing now, if you ever show me a piece of marketing, I cringe. We skip marketing every time we can. No one watches a full YouTube marketing video. We want to get to the video. So why are we creating more YouTube ad roll? Why don't you create the content? That's what people are trying to get to. So to me, it's about dentists being creative because I know there's a lot of like restrictions within the health industry, but I think it's super important to get creative now and start providing value on a different level to your audience. Because why do dentists just have to talk about teeth? Why can't a dentist be an inspirational human being? Because inspiration is like, if you can sell that, wow, you're going to get a ton of customers. People love to do business with people they're inspired by. I love my accountant. Every time I see him, I come back to my business and I'm ready to work hard again, you know, and I've had accountants where I've been to, and then after I see them, I feel like dying. But it's just the truth. It's inspiration is that key when you're creating a personal brand. I think it's a very powerful thing, and it can be learned and it can be you can create it.
Yeah. So again, it comes back to, as you say, being creative, looking for the inspiration, creating meaningful content. And the thing that I really appreciate as well, Vin, in what you do is your content is really designed to serve. And I was talking to a chap by the name of Tim Reed from Small Business Big Marketing a little while ago about his book called The Boomerang Effect. And it was all about helpful marketing. And you're absolutely right. And yeah, you know, I was looking at YouTube last night for something or other, and you're absolutely bang on. I hit the skip ad all the time, and I just move through because you're right. None of us want to be marketed to. We all go past that. But if we can create engagement, create authenticity, you know, which is an overused word, but still, yeah, something that's true and meaningful, then that's great.
Yeah, and I think there's such a huge opportunity for dentists because I don't. Well, look, I've very limited knowledge in that marketplace, but it's just from what I see from the outside, there's no one killing it in that content creation process because then that means opportunity.
Absolutely means opportunity. So for everyone listening here, start creating content, start looking to add value.
And listen, it'll be bad at the start. It'll be horrible at the start, but that's the price you have to pay in order to get good at it.
Yeah, absolutely. I look back at my first blog posts and go, oh no, really? My first blog post was an open letter to Netflix. It was a breakup letter. And
oh, what?
Yeah, but it was pretty horrible. It was a bit rough and ready, but, you know, but I look back now and I kind of go, oh, that's not something I'd publish today, but it's still out there and that's okay. You know, that's all right.
But that's the price you had to pay and you paid it and now you're better.
Yeah, exactly. It's like everything in life. So I wanted to talk to you a little bit about being in business and the concept of isolation. And I was actually in preparation for today, Vin, I was scrolling through some of the stuff on your Facebook page and you did this whole video about how people's lives on Facebook looks amazing and it's their best life. And sometimes we can compare ourselves to other people's best life and we're looking at our reality, or maybe we're having a poor day, or, you know, whatever it is, a crappy day, and we're comparing it to people's best life. So I just wanted to pick up that thread because I really, really resonated with that, because, you know, in this Facebook world, all the dentists are in forums and stuff. And if you read and believe everything that's, you know, said in there, everyone is doing epically well, but me, kind of thing. What's your take on that?
Look, I just think that when you see that's happening in society, that everyone's pretty much feeling crappy about themselves. And the reason they are is, just like you said, is that because we're comparing ourselves to a false reality that everyone is portraying on social media. So that's why when I create content, again, I see an opportunity. I see that it's great to be able to do things like Facebook Live or like a long form podcast, because you can't hide there. You can't have a perfectly edited photo, perfect angle, perfect, you know, perfect being able to edit everything. You can't do that. And that way people are able to see you for who you really are. And I think more than ever, people want that, because like you said, just because the word authenticity is overused, it doesn't mean it's not important. I think because it's overused, that's what makes it bloody important, because everyone really wants it. And it just, again, just to connect it to what we were saying before, is that's why it's not about creating ads, but it's about creating, it's about, you know, telling stories that are real. And if you were to keep it on the topic of, you know, the isolation thing, that's why it's important that you meet with real people and you don't always just connect with people through online, because it's a facade. You should see how messy my room is right now. We always clean our houses before guests come over, but before that is the real state of what we live in, right?
Yeah. I look at my desk at the moment. I can tell you I've got cables and stuff and crap everywhere on my desk at the moment. So I know what that's like. Yeah, my life is far from perfect. And I don't know about you, Vin, but I reckon I've been creative enough to make some mistakes that, you know, most people will hopefully never make in their lives. You know, my journey is a series of, you know, stuff ups along the way, with the, you know, occasional success thrown in there as well, but lots and lots of mistakes, tons of mistakes.
Yeah. And look, I think what you're saying there is just a really important point that I think whoever's listening to this, you've really got to take it on board, is that make sure you live in reality and don't spend too much of your time online, because that then does mess up our minds.
Yeah, completely. So if we're talking about the reality of life and, you know, the fact that we've all had some, you know, missteps along the way, you know, in your entrepreneurial journey, you know, we spoke a little bit earlier about zigs and zags. Yeah, you know, clearly you've had lots of success. We get that. And we applaud and salute, you know, the people who do have those successes. Where do you think in your journey, Vin, that you might have gone, yeah, well, with the benefit of hindsight, that wasn't an awesome choice, or I might have done things differently? What lessons have you taken out of your journey?
Trying to find shortcuts, trying to find a one-step solution. I was so drawn to that, Jesse, like my whole life. I mean, I remember back in the mid, like 2004, 2005, there was a website called, literally it was called therichjerk.com. And that was my first scam. That was the first time I got scammed. Yeah, and I was scammed out of like $2,500, because supposedly this guy had a system that could make you millions of dollars while you sleep. But mate, I kept falling for this stuff. Even when I wanted to build my speaking career, I paid a guy $25,000 to spend 7 days with him, learned nothing.
Oh, wow. Okay.
It was stupid. And it was the most fraudulent thing I've ever done. And I remember the way he did it. Like, you know, it's this, and this is not to say that selling in the back of the room is a bad thing. It's just this particular event was horrible.
Yeah.
And yeah, he sold stuff. I ran to the back of the room. I bought it because I thought I had 15 minutes before I had to sign up, and it just didn't work. Every single time I try to find this silver bullet, it's not real. You pick it up and it's plastic and you get pissed off.
Yeah. And mate, that is so true, because again, one of the conversations that happens with dentists a lot is, you know, because it's a competitive marketplace and, you know, much more competitive than it ever used to be. The question I get asked, you know, routinely is, say, Jesse, if I could do one marketing thing and only one, what would be the U-Butte surefire, you know, path to success? And there is none, right? There is none.
That even makes me feel like, can you tell me what it is, Jesse?
Damn it.
I hate that.
I know. And because we are all programmed to look for shortcuts. We're all programmed to want to get there as quickly and as easily and as painlessly as we can. But coming back to the point you made earlier, there's a price you have to pay.
Yeah, well, because then the price you have to pay is lack of mastery. And that's where it's at, Jesse. That's what I'm realizing now, you know, being able to hang out with some of these incredible speakers and like I've got a video production company here in LA too, and just being able to hang out with other people who own some pretty high caliber video production companies, you realize that if you got this far and you have no mastery in your craft, you will be found out so damn fast that your rise will come to an halt, like so quickly. You'll be found out so fast. And that's something people don't talk about, is that If you find your way there accidentally and you do find a shortcut that even did exist, for example, when you get there, man, you'll be found out.
And then it's hard to recover, right?
Well, yeah, because now you're feeling imposter syndrome. There are so many things that are – I mean, you feel imposter syndrome regardless, but this maybe you may feel a real sense of imposter syndrome because you don't have the steak. You know what I mean? You just have the sizzle. And I think that's something I'm really grateful for, that none of those one things – like, you know, one step to success, seven to step to, like none of them worked for me, which I'm really grateful for, because that forced me to take the long path of the craftsman's mindset, the craftsmanship, where it leads to the mastery.
So speaking of mastery, and, you know, obviously you've got a full-time career as a professional speaker. I know you've got other business activities, you know, such as your video production company as well. But I wanted to talk a little bit about your speaking career, because, again, you know, you're very well known in that space and you do it very, very well, and you've obviously mastered that craft. I'm guessing that, you know, you weren't born, you know, superb speaker. It's probably something you've had to hone. You might have had some natural aptitude, I'm assuming, but you've obviously honed it. One of the questions I've got, and this is something that, you know, perhaps got a little bit of bias coming into my questioning here, but it strikes me that all of us, to some extent, are performers in our roles at work. Do you think there's an element of performance in everything that we do, or am I just kind of, you know, missing the point there?
No, we're so on the same wavelength, man. I fully think that the moment you change that mindset and view what you do as a performance, it changes the experience for the customer, obviously. Because when you deliberately perform, then you're deliberately creating an experience that's going to create astonishment, if that's what you're going for. And that's the thing. I mean, otherwise, what are you doing if you're not performing? You're just going through a sequence of actions that have no real thought behind them for experience purposes. I mean, I think that's crazy. And you see the difference. Like, anyone who's listening to this right now, just imagine you at a conference that you've just recently been to. Think about the speaker that actively performed and then the speaker that was just delivering content. And think about the last time you went to a dentist yourself. Maybe you don't do your own teeth. Maybe you go to a dentist, and then think about one who's great and then one who's average. What's the difference? It's the performance factor.
Yeah. And so coming back to that, because, you know, there's a few things in there that I just want to pick up. You spoke earlier about, you know, mastering the craft. So clearly you've got to be good at your craft. You know, you've got to be a good dentist. But if you can wrap that performance around that and still obviously be, you know, great at your craft and overlay that element of performance and get good at that side of the business as well, you know, really, you know, the sky's the limit. You can create astonishment for your patients, which is not just, you know, oh my God, he's amazing, you know, good bloke, but you're creating astonishing outcomes, astonishing experiences. Where do you see that served you in your life? I mean, you know, I get that it's obviously been part of your speaking experience, but by learning to perform and honing that craft, where has that taken you?
Look, I think before we jump into that, I really want to make sure we get pragmatic as well for the audience. When I say performance, and I'm very biased as well, I really believe in communication skills. To become a speaker, I spent years in vocal training, singing training, and also did a lot of theater, because your body is also an instrument, so is your voice. And if you think about it, Jesse, a pianist will never perform in front of a live audience unless he or she has performed and practiced for thousands of hours to master the instrument, meaning their voice. And, you know, all of you as dentists have an incredible instrument that you've never learnt to properly play. And the hidden ingredient for creating an astonishing experience, let's say in the context of being a dentist, is inspiring your customers, or sorry, inspiring your patients to ensure that they look after their teeth. Because you can inspire someone to do something, or you can manipulate them to do something out of fear. And I think it's inspiration that's probably the better path. And here's the fascinating thing that I hope is going to blow all your minds when you hear this, because it blew my mind. My first lesson with my singing teacher, I remember she played a song, didn't tell me anything about it, and goes, "How do you feel?" And I go, "Huh, sad." She goes, "Good." Play another song. And then she, you know, 3 minutes go by every time. It's slightly awkward. But then she goes, "How do you feel after the second one?" I'm like, "Oh, inspired." And she played another one. I go, "Really tense, and it was fear." And then she turns around and she says to me, she goes, "Vin, none of these, like these piano songs I'm playing, there's no words. So how did you know what to feel?" I was like, "Oh, damn it." Because she said the progression of notes creates and controls emotions. There's a second layer of performance when humans speak. There's a second layer of meaning beyond the words we choose. So when someone's speaking, they can be speaking in an inspiring tone. And if they do that, then naturally the person feels inspired. Or, I mean, imagine if we just kind of drop down and seem like we're speaking about something really sad. All of a sudden, it just feels sad.
Yeah.
So again, it's just that's the context and the pragmatism I just wanted to speak to quickly. And it's that all of you who are listening to this have an incredible voice that you haven't discovered yet. You have an incredible, because your voice is your personality as well. You're not just there to sell your service. You're there to sell your personality. And your personality is your voice, literally. If you're listening to my podcast, you're making so many assumptions about who I am as a human being right now based on how I sound.
That's amazing.
So, yeah, I just wanted to make sure that I was attaching something a bit more pragmatic as opposed to just going, "Hey, be more astonishing," because they'll be like, "What are you talking about, you crazy magician?"
Well, actually, while we're being pragmatic though, so what was that journey for you to uncover your voice and to be able to make the most of it? What, you know, if we're looking at it's a couple of practical things that the dentist listening to this podcast could do to hone their voice, find their voice, what sort of things would you do in your routine around that?
You know, I have this mindset that the most masterful teachers that have taught me in my life taught me the most simple lessons that had the greatest impact. The least masterful teachers that I've had in my life taught me very complicated lessons that I've never applied, and none of them stuck. So simplicity is not equivalent to stupidity. Simplicity is rather distilled wisdom. So just framing it with that, your voice comes down to five things. The first thing is your rate of speech. So if I kept the same rate of speech right now and spoke like this, what would happen to the rest of the audience? They'll get bored.
Bored, fall asleep.
So you've got to vary your rate. You've got to vary your rate. There are times when you've got to go very, very quickly, and then there are times when you have to slow down. So first thing is rate of speech. Second thing is volume. You've got to play with your volume. There are times when you've got to go loud, times when you've got to bring it down, because when you go quiet, it brings people in. And then that's rate of speech, volume. Then the second thing is tonality. Yeah. Feel what you're saying. Notice how I just didn't say, "Feel what you're saying." Feel it. Feel the words. Each word has a certain way of feeling. So feel it. Like there were two types of people that come up to me. One would come up after a magic show, for example, and say, "Vin, that was amazing." And then the second type of person is, "Vin, that was amazing."
Yeah.
Guess who I'm more in love with right now?
Completely. Completely.
Both people meant what they said though. That's the sad part, is they both meant it with all of their heart, except one knew how to express it, the other didn't. So yeah. Tonality. That's the third thing. The fourth thing is your pitch. Most people go through life speaking with one pitch. And then there are more people who, or maybe a few more people who speak with two pitches. So they'll speak at one pitch like this. And then when they get really excited, they go here, and then they just drop back down to this pitch again. And then that's the entire experience, is one note. You got to vary your pitch. You must vary it. And then the final thing is you've got to pause, because that's when you allow people to think. So if just to summarize it for you, it's your rate of speech, it's your volume, it's your tonality, feel your words, it's the pitch, and it's the pause. These five things, if you vary them, you will dramatically improve as a communicator. And you will dramatically improve the experience that you're giving people, because when people are sitting there with their mouths open, the only sound is going to be from your tools and coming out of your mouth. And if it's just the sound of tools, that's a horror movie.
Yeah, that's Steve Martin, Little Shop of Horrors right there.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, actually, perfect metaphor.
Yeah. So I really love that, mate, because what we're hearing here is it's not just the words that you speak. Like the two people who came up to the show and said, you loved your show, but one was far more convincing than the other. So what I'm hearing you say is when it comes to artful communication, effective communication, we've got to go far beyond the actual words that we speak, and we've got to be able to, you know, implement these things such as, you know, pitch and tonality and pausing and rate of speech and so on. And all of that comes together to hone an effective message, yeah?
Yeah, absolutely.
Cool.
And let's add one more little quick thing as well, if you don't mind, Jesse.
Yeah, go.
And it's that as dentists, you're all speakers too. And you are speakers because you have the same situation that is presented with a keynote speaker. And just thinking about it now, when I'm on stage, it's a one-way conversation. The audience isn't talking back to me. You, as dentists, you're the same. You're in the same situation. When you speak to your clients who's laying in that bed with their mouth awkwardly open, they're not talking back to you either. So in you learning how to become a better speaker, you actually become a better dentist too, I believe. And please take that with 5 buckets of salt precisely, because I could be completely wrong. But I just feel like, so what do speakers do? They have key stories that they tell. Mm-hmm. And why can't you be telling the same stories every time you see a client for the first time? And this story is specifically designed to create inspiration.
See, I really agree. I don't think you need to add the 5 buckets of salt with that, mate, because let me tell you, part of, you know, this is just, you know, again, the gospel according to Jesse Green, which again, probably take with 5 buckets of salt of my own as well. But
that's 10 buckets of salt, by the way, for this podcast.
Yeah, the arteries are going to be well and truly hard by the end of this show.
Yeah, Atacan plus all the way.
Yeah, all the way. So the key thing though is really at the heart of dentistry is to meet people's emotional needs. No one ever comes to the dentist. Vin, tell me if this has been your experience. Have you ever walked into the dentist and said, hey, doc, I'm so glad to be here for my filling? Said no one ever.
I believe that.
Yeah, right? So really, yeah. People come to see dentists to have an emotional need fulfilled. Maybe it's, you know, wanting to look better. Maybe it's to alleviate pain, all that sort of stuff. So we are connecting with people's emotional beings as much as doing the dentistry, the physical stuff. So the ability to communicate effectively, just like you've articulated so elegantly, is critical to be able to meet that need, because we all make our decisions emotionally. We connect with people emotionally. We sometimes sprinkle logic over the top to justify that, but we've got to be able to connect with people's hearts, not just their heads, right?
Hell yeah. And that takes practice.
Yeah.
You know, you have to learn how to tell the right stories. And just talking about it right now, Jesse, like, I just feel like all dentists are speakers. That's what you are. You genuinely are. Of course you do what you technically do, but then on top of that, You are a speaker too. I mean, I remember my best experiences with a dentist was when my dentist was telling me these really engaging stories. And all he primed it with was, oh, Vin, I'm reading this bloody great book right now and I have to tell you the story I read. And then he just got into the story and I was like, wow, this is bloody intriguing. And I'm not thinking about, I wonder what he's doing in my mouth. I wonder if, you know, my mouth is really gross and I, you know, like, again, I'm so self-conscious, as most people would be. But that by him telling me this engaging story, and because he mastered his craft, he can tell me his story while he's doing his masterful work. And before I knew it, the punchline came right at the end as he finished the routine. I sat up. I didn't even know what he did. I just went, damn, that's a good lesson. Holy crap. and he knew not to make me laugh until it was done.
Yeah.
And again, this is why you're like a speaker. Because he told me something to make me laugh before I went in to ease my nerves. And I'm sure he uses the same joke all the time like speakers do. If you watch my videos and come to all my talks, I use the same lines, right? Because they work, because they're polished. And if you're not funny, no fear. Hire a comedian. I do it. But this is the crazy thing, is that dentistry is a highly paid profession that, look, every industry is being threatened by commoditization, but it's still a very well-paid profession. I pay a comedian like $1,500, sit in the back of the room while I do my thing, and I go, hey, help me funny up my talk. And then they write me 10 pages, can't use 8 of them because it's all sex jokes and inappropriate jokes. But the 2 pages I get are gold. Imagine you did the same thing and did something out of the box, and you're able to make your clients laugh like crazy before they even sat in that chair.
See, I love that, mate. That is so out of the box thinking. And I know everyone listening is going to go, hire a comedian. Wow, never thought of that.
I'm not a comedian, but But the first thing people say is, I'm not a comedian. I'm a dentist. I'm like, yeah, but you're also in a person who's in control of someone's experience.
Absolutely. Mate, there is just so much gold there. So for everyone who's listening to the show right now, if you haven't been taking notes, I'm going to encourage you to hit pause right now, go back, get your pen and paper and take notes on everything Vin's been saying, because it's absolute gold. It's wonderful.
As they're eating their salt. Yeah,
as they're eating their salt, yes. Exactly.
Please, we've got to remember the salt. Don't forget the salt.
Don't forget the salt and probably about 20 gallons of water to wash it down.
Yeah, true.
Yeah.
People are going to die from dehydration after this podcast.
Yeah, exactly. It was the best show, Jesse, but it's been my last one because I've carked it at the end of it. So, yeah, that's cool. Hey, mate, as we wrap up, I really want to say thank you for taking the time. You've been so generous in you know, sharing your wisdom, sharing your expertise, sharing your knowledge, and I've seen you do that countless times. So I know that you're probably one of the most generous people I've encountered, you know, in this space. Before we do wrap up, mate, I just wanted to, I suppose, get, you know, Vin's top three takeaways. You know, for someone listening today, what, you know, if we wanted to distill this into, you know, something, you know, a bumper sticker, if you will, not a magic bullet because we don't believe in those. But if there was a couple of key salient points that, you know, we could distill out of today's conversation, you know, what would you want to leave the audience with, mate?
I would say the first thing is that the world right now is so adverse to mastery because the world lacks patience. So go opposite to where the rest of the world is going and build mastery and keep one quote in mind by Steve Martin. Let's bring it back again.
Yeah.
Be so good they can't ignore you. And I mean that in every sense. Be so good with your craft as a dentist, but also be so good with your craft as an experience creator. And that's the second thing, is the only time you're going to be able to think about the experience for your patients is when you've already mastered your craft as a dentist and you're not concerned you're going to accidentally remove four of their teeth, you know. And I'm not saying this to insult anybody. I'm saying that the only time you can focus on creating an experience is when you've mastered that. And then that gives you room to breathe to be able to master a new craft, which is your communication skills. So don't forget, just like your hands are your tools, you also have another instrument that is your voice. And I highly encourage all of you to go out and find your best voice, because that's your personality. That's who you are. And the moment you do that, that's the boat, that's the tide that raises all boats in your life. Your relationships get better. Everything gets better. And I think I'll wrap it up with the final thing, is that there's so many things you've got to do now if you're going to go away and take action on this stuff. And just remember, do everything before you're ready.
Mate, thank you. That is, again, such salient advice. And, you know, again, for the audience listening, I really encourage you to heed those words, because that is just wisdom distilled into, you know, simple, practical, actionable things to do. Vin, one last question for you.
Sure.
If I may.
Of course you can.
I know that you get to meet a lot of inspiring people. You interact with them on a day-to-day basis. I'm always curious to ask people, who are the people who have made the biggest difference in your life?
Wow. Okay. You know, obviously, aside from family and everything, one of the most interesting people I've met recently that has a dramatic impact on my life is a gentleman named Adam Chaya. He's the gentleman that created Siri for the iPhone, and Steve Jobs called him after a few months to buy his company. And I spent about 3-4 days with him. And he said one thing that I remember, I couldn't spend time with him during the day because he had to work. So I literally said, well, I'll just sit on the train with you while you go to work and back. And I'll just sit in your office all day. It's all good. So I did that. And on the train to work, because he's so damn humble, the man's incredibly wealthy, but he's so humble and I love him as a human being. And he said, so on the train ride, he said to me, he goes, Vin, life is like a book and there are many different chapters in a book. Most people never go beyond chapter one. Just remember that what makes a book interesting is not one long chapter, but many small chapters. You've got to know when it's your time to close one chapter and to start anew, and to not, out of fear, not write the new chapter. Because how do you move forward through a book if you continually look back? And it was just so perfect for me, because I was about to turn a new chapter in my life and move to America, but I was so afraid. I was so afraid. And I realized in my whole life, I've just been always writing one chapter. And then finally, I'm on chapter two. So it's just kind of give yourself permission for change to happen, because we should all be evolving. We aren't supposed to be the same forever.
Vin, that is incredibly profound advice. As someone who's been fortunate enough to witness your first chapter from a distance, admittedly, I'm really, really grateful that you've been able to share those experiences with us, and I'm looking forward to seeing what chapter 2, chapter 3, and chapter 4 look like in your life, mate, because we're all here cheering you on. We all, you know, really love what you do, and you've got a huge fan club here in our community as well. And so, mate, thank you so much from all of us here at the Savvy Dentist Podcast for coming on, sharing your wisdom, and opening yourself up and really telling us what it's really like. And we're incredibly humbled and incredibly grateful that you've taken the time to come and hang with us today, mate. You're a gem.
Hey, my pleasure. Thanks, Jesse. Thanks for having me. Appreciate it.
It's my pleasure, mate.
Thank you for listening to the Savvy Dentist Podcast. For more episodes, go to drjessegreen.com/savvydentist. And to discover how to build a high-performance dental practice, visit drjessegreen.com and download the free report.